is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Earlier this year, Fiona Ingleby, who's a social scientist at Sussex University, had a paper rejected from the journal PLOS ONE. Not exactly big news by itself, this happens to researchers all the time. But the comments from one of the reviewers surprised Fiona. He suggested that
it would probably also be beneficial to find one or two male biologists to work with.
And that
it might well be that on average men publish in better journals due to marginally better health and stamina.
All this in the peer reviewer's official comments to the journal. Subsequently, the paper was rejected. Fiona was exasperated. She appealed the decision and then did something she hadn't really done much before. She took to Twitter.
Shocking reviewer comments received for our manuscript on gender differences in PhD postdoc transition. Journal has been given 3 weeks so far to respond to our appeal. If there was ever an argument for double-blind peer review.
She expected some conciliatory messages from colleagues. Instead, her original messages got retweeted over 5,000 times, and the incident got coverage from major news outlets. Fiona's run-in with PLOS ONE wasn't the only story of sexism in science that broke last year. Lauren Morello, an editor at Nature, helps manage the Nature News social media account and has written a feature on the effects of Twitter storms over sexism in science. She joins me now on the line from DC. Lauren, what inspired you to write this feature?
This year, there just seemed to be a spate of these Twitter storms where scientists had these really short-lived, intense discussions on various issues of sexism. This kind of social media storm is a phenomenon. It's an emerging phenomenon, and nobody really knows what it means yet or whether it's going to produce lasting change, but it's clear that you can't really ignore it.
Female scientists, I'm sure, have been having negative experiences around sexism for a long time. Is there any evidence that by talking about these experiences on Twitter, they're able to have conversations they weren't able to have before?
I don't know if it's that they're having conversations that they weren't having before. I think Twitter allows them to have these conversations in a way that's visible, things that you might have talked about with your colleagues over coffee, you're talking about in public, and so people that you don't know can enter the conversation. And one side effect of this that both people who study social media and people who are participating in these conversations just as individuals told me is that it seems to be creating connections across fields. If you're an ecologist, you might not know any astronomers, but through these conversations on Twitter, ecologists and astronomers and physicists and, you know, chemists are talking to each other and finding a sense of solidarity, I think.
And what do we know about how this helps people to deal with the sexism they encounter, both in terms of the emotional difficulty of dealing with it and the practicalities around it?
The research is really preliminary, but folks looking at various hashtags say that when you tweet about sexism, what happens is that you feel like you are making a difference, that your voice is heard, and that it increases your sense of well-being. This is all classified as expressive writing, and most of the time it makes you feel like you're accomplishing something, so you feel better.
Well, hold that thought, Lauren, because we should say that in Fiona Ingleby's case, taking to Twitter did actually accomplish something. Fiona's tweets not only got wide coverage, but PLOS even made a public apology. They replied to Fiona's tweet on the same day she posted it, saying,
PLOS regrets the tone, content, and spirit of this review. Your appeal is in process, and we're reviewing the matter.
Fiona's paper is now being re-reviewed, and the reviewer and editor that originally handled the manuscript have been let go from PLOS ONE. Lauren, back to you for a final thought. This is clearly a very positive case of the impact of social media, but when I tend to think of conversations on the internet, things can often turn quite ugly. Presumably not all experiences of discussing sexism in science are positive.
I think that's absolutely true. In the study, we mentioned a report by the Pew Center here in Washington, D.C., a think tank that looked at internet harassment just generally. And what they found is that men are slightly more likely to be harassed on the internet, but when they're harassed, they get called names or made fun of, and women are more likely to be stalked or sexually harassed based on their online activity. So it's pretty dangerous out there sometimes to be a woman. For example, there's one Twitter storm we talk about in the story where a male scientist with the European Space Agency's Rosetta Project wore a shirt with scantily clad women to a big public media event where there were lots of journalists and lots of cameras and lots of public attention. It's when they landed the Philae spacecraft on a comet last year. And so people on Twitter saw the shirt and kind of pointed it out and said, that's sexist. Why would you wear this to an event like this? You're going to make women and girls feel like they're not welcome in planetary science or science generally. Some of these women started getting real blowback, death threats, rape threats, stuff that seems really out of proportion to a fairly civil online debate where, you know, they were arguing that this guy, you know, showed poor taste in wearing the shirt. And the interesting thing is that, as far as I know, the guy who wore the shirt didn't actually get any death threats or rape threats. He made a public apology a couple days later, and that seemed to make people happy. And the online debate about the shirt continued, but people stopped really talking about him.
That was Lauren Morello, whose feature is out this week. You can read it over at nature.com/news. And special thanks to the quote voices handpicked from Nature's editorial team.